listener production.
US stocks find their mojo as Wall Street climbs.
And Aussie shares expected to lift on Wednesday with inflation figures in focus.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wednesday the 24th of April. Welcome to the CommSec Market Update. As we speak right now with the US markets having just closed, we've got the SPY futures up by about a quarter of a percent. So we'll get off to a positive start this morning. And that's thanks to some pretty muscular improvements for US stocks. We've got the Dow Jones up by around 2/3 of a percent at the close, the S&P 500 up 1.3% and the NASDAQ up 1.5%. They've really found their footing.
They have, Tom. And just hot off the press, Tesla has released its earnings after the bell. Here's the results. Earnings per share, 45 cents adjusted versus 51 cents per share expected by the LSEG. Revenue at $21.3 billion versus $22.15 billion expected by the LSEG. Revenue dropped 9% from a year earlier, the biggest year-over-year drop since 2012. The earnings call is going to be underway shortly, so we'll be able to decipher those results. But the market reaction has been positive so far. In after-hours trade, Tesla shares are up by 7.6%.
That is a solid gain to build on the 2% improvement that we saw during the day session. So the way you'd categorize that, Ryan, is that this stock has been under considerable pressure over the course of recent days. In particular, it's the worst, one of the worst performing stocks in the S&P 500. So just relieved that it wasn't any worse, I suppose.
That's true, yes. So certainly the stock price is down more than 40% this year. We'll get across those numbers and report those to our customers during the day.
Indeed. And the improvement that we saw for Tesla was emblematic of the lift that we saw generally for the FANG contingent. We saw NVIDIA shares up 3%, Meta up 3%, Microsoft was up 1.5%. Similar improvements for Alphabet and Amazon, Apple at the tail there with a gain of around 0.5%. So that speaks to the technology stocks obviously leading the gains. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index was up by 2%. It's up by about 5% from its recent low. How do you view these moves, Ryan?
Well, the share market clearly lost traction in April amid signals that the US Federal Reserve will hold rates higher for longer. The slide has made stocks more attractive as it's removed some froth from the market. And investors are now focused on corporate earnings. So if those earnings are better than expected, then we may see a lift and continue to see a lift in those share prices. Of course, we've got Meta Platforms to report on Wednesday afternoon.
The other component of the picture in recent weeks, obviously, has been what's going on with the economy. The resilience of the economy translated to a move higher for interest rates. But this session, there was some comfort taken from a softer reading when it came to activity in the manufacturing and services sectors.
It's worth pointing out that roughly 20% of the S&P 500 has reported earnings so far. Of those companies, 76 have beaten analyst expectations, according to FactSet. On the economic front, we saw US Treasury yields dip overnight. The S&P Global Manufacturing Index fell from 51.9 in March to 49.9 in April. That is signifying a contraction of manufacturing activity. And the Global Services Index slid from 51.7 to 50.9 in April. So that was a four-month low. So business activity appears to be cooling in the US. So perhaps on the back of weaker demand and higher inflation and those interest rates. So the big focus is on whether that curbs price pressures.
This is welcome, this move lower for yields. It's just a question of whether or not it holds on to the big one of the week, which is the inflation reading on Friday, which there's a fair bit of water to pass under the bridge before we get to that one. But that's the high watermark in terms of ticking off that interest rate box. Elsewhere, we have seen the industrial stocks did reasonably well also. So we had Caterpillar shares up 1.6%. We had JP Morgan up 1.4%. We had Home Depot up by around 0.75%. Procter & Gamble up 0.6% with a similar gain for 3M. The point being is that there's a massive disparity between when the emotion shifts, it moves dramatically in favor of the tech names and the industrial stocks, whilst important in their contribution, are left a little bit flat-footed.
That's right. So we saw General Motors gain 4.9% after the automaker's better-than-expected quarterly results. And then we saw United Parcel Service, which is an economic barometer, it gained 2%. Spotify surged 13.8% after the Swedish music streaming giant posted a gross profit above 1 billion euros for the first time. We also saw the likes of Globe Life, the top of the S&P 500 index, up 14.9% after the insurance company raised its operating earnings per share forecast for the full year.
So just quickly swinging to the European sphere, the Stock 600 index, the broader measure of European stock performance, up by 1.3%. The FTSE rose by 0.25%. The CAC 40 in Paris up by 0.8%, and the German DAX was up 1.5%. So as you rightly pointed out, those better earnings in Europe are certainly helpful, but they didn't slingshot higher the European markets the way the Americans did.
We did see the Stock 600 index have its best day in 6 weeks on Tuesday. Tech shares were up 2.5%, and that was on the back of a 2.6% advance in SAP, which reported a 24% jump in first quarter cloud revenue. We also saw retail shares up 2.2%. It's worth pointing out the FTSE 100 index in the United Kingdom rose to a fresh record high for a second day.
I suppose the point that stands out for me to an extent, Ryan, is that when you look at the sector moves for the S&P 500, they were all higher with the exception of materials stocks. So that's probably a little bit of a blemish as far as our market's concerned today.
Absolutely. So gold futures are down by 0.2% to $2,342.10 an ounce. So gold miners were under significant pressure yesterday. They were down around 4% at one stage on the back of a dialing back of those geopolitical risks in the Middle East. We have seen iron ore futures also under a little bit of pressure. The US COMEX iron ore price lifted by 0.1% to $108.76 a ton, but iron ore futures in Singapore actually fell and extended losses for a second straight session.
The marquee event of the week in local terms is hard upon us, the March quarter CPI. This is a pivotal moment, isn't it?
It's a big day for the Australian market. So we get the latest consumer price index for the March quarter, as you mentioned. We're expecting to see headline inflation increase 0.7% in the quarter, with the year-end rate easing to 3.4% from 4.1%. We expect the modest acceleration in quarterly price growth to be driven by education and health items, reflecting resets in school fees and health-related items at the start of the calendar year. We also expect inflation across housing and finance and insurance items to remain relatively elevated, reflecting ongoing increases in rents and insurance up to 3.7%. In terms of underlying inflation, which is what the Reserve Bank looks at, we expect true mean inflation to rise 0.7% in the quarter, with the year-end rate easing to 3.7% to 4.2%. We also get the monthly CPI print for March, which will likely corroborate the slower disinflation path, increasing by 3.4% year-on-year for a fourth consecutive month.
So there's enough information in there to give you a mild concussion. So why don't we just cut to the quick? The number from the market's perspective is 3.8%. So that is what the average of economists across the market think that the underlying rate, or trimmed mean as it's referred to, will come in at. Is that going to be enough for the markets to exhale?
Well, I think that we're going to see a continuation of the disinflation pulse as far as Australia is concerned. The components that I mentioned remain incredibly sticky at the moment. Mm. We've still got wages growth year on year in excess of 4% at the moment. The unemployment rate remains below 4% as well. So I think the Reserve Bank's neutral policy stance is adequate for the moment. The concern going forward is if we see that interest rate differential with the United States increase. So for example, if Australia hypothetically decided to cut interest rates before the United States, which markets are now kind of pricing in, then the Aussie dollar would be under pressure, imported inflation would lift. That wouldn't be ideal for anyone.
So 3.8 or below is what we need, at least from a market perspective, to give investors comfort, and indeed currency traders. A number above 3.8 would certainly be very supportive for the Aussie dollar, which has already been the beneficiary of a moderating greenback overnight. It's trading at 64.8 US cents. Ryan, I can't wait for 11:30. So I'm sure you're the same.
And of course, we'll be breaking for Anzac Day tomorrow. There'll be no podcast, lest we forget.
Thanks for joining us this morning. This podcast is prepared, approved, and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting, and if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.